Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
Family, relationships, self-care. It's time for life advice from licensed professional counselor Jenny Curry on WICC 600.
All right, Jenny Curry is here. She's been giving us some great advice during the pandemic with different topics that connect to her clients and to the public, from depression to isolation to grief. Today we are talking about trauma. Jenny, welcome to the show as always. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, you know, we were talking here, there's something eerie about the coronavirus. I mean, It's invisible. We can't see it, smell it, touch it, nothing. It's kind of a guessing game, especially if you are, you know, prone to things like this. How does this connect to people dealing with trauma?
Yeah, so it's so interesting, right? I mean, I think everybody is struggling anyway, just with the fact that with Corona, you don't know who the next victim is going to be. People can be asymptomatic. You know, it also seems like the longer that this virus goes on, it's even less predictable. And trying to recognize any patterns of how it functions, I mean, it's we're at a loss, right? It's such a young virus. It's a matter of months old. So the challenge is that people who have trauma, they already feel like there is always this invisible enemy around them, right? So if you have somebody who had something horrible happen, you know, it could have been that they were in war. It could have been an assault. It could have been, you know, abuse, a number of different things. And that already conditions them to be hypervigilant, to constantly be looking around and trying to make sure that they're safe and to spot any enemies or unsafe things around them, which typically there are not, but they're conditioned to feel that way. So then what happens is when you put a virus like this that's unknown, that's unpredictable, that's unseen, that just throws their already heightened state of anxiety just over the top, just through the roof. And it's definitely something that I've been seeing with my clients for sure.
So, Jenny, I guess, is it a parallel? Like, would you give the same advice to somebody dealing with trauma that you would for people who are paranoid about the coronavirus getting them?
Yeah, you still could. I think it's just that for people who have trauma, it's going to be that much harder for them to get through it. And it's going to be that much more important, though, that they find some kind of coping skill. But, you know, to some degree, I think we're all sort of struggling with that. I know for me, the fact that people can be asymptomatic, The fact that we continue to find new symptoms as we're going along, like that's the part for me that it just unnerves me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then you figure anything that the typical person is feeling is just magnified for that person with trauma.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not to the extent that you're talking about, but it's interesting that you bring up this topic today. It's actually kind of eerie itself that you bring this up today because, you know, it became very clear over the last couple of days that there was this weird new version, but something else that's coming out of COVID-19, which is this syndrome that seems to be attacking children. Our governor was able to address this yesterday, that it's anywhere from like 3 months to 15-year-olds. And of course, we already have three patients now in Connecticut, which was just announced yesterday. So since like yesterday afternoon until this morning, I immediately start to, I'm a pretty laid back parent, I would think, but I start to go back to when I had Chase and, you know, with my son, our delivery was horrendous to the point that we almost lost Chase in the midst having him. So like when you hear about things like this, in that it's making children sick and that five children in New York have already died from this, I can see the connection of like all I'm thinking about is that moment of I think I'm going to lose my child before I even get to hold him. And now here we are 2 years later and this threat is specifically attacking children. Is that what you're kind of talking about, making the two relation? Is that sort of the same thing?
Oh, absolutely. I think what you went through was traumatic. And no doubt all of those concerns and those fears are getting stirred up in a situation like this. As laid back as you are in general, that's what trauma does. You know, it's like something else comes up and it takes you right back to that place where you were. So absolutely, that makes a lot of sense. Definitely the same.
All right. We're talking with Jenny Curry, a professional counselor in Milford. This may be a stupid question, but if you're a hypochondriac, this whole thing It magnifies it a million times. I mean, I know that, you know, I'm driving in and, you know, you're hearing new things about the coronavirus. And as they are saying it, I'm saying to myself, wait, you know, I think I felt that. I think I got that. I think, what about that? Oh, my God, they're talking about, you know, whatever, tingling in your fingertips. I've got that. I've got it right now. It's like your mind goes crazy.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, well, absolutely. I mean, the power of suggestion and all of that, there really is something to that. And so then I think you kind of have to go back to, well, all right, but let's kind of think about this now rationally. What do I know to be true? Was I having any symptoms before? Am I otherwise healthy? Could this be that I just heard about this on the radio? Okay, maybe. But, you know, for people who it's more severe, whether it's trauma or otherwise, one thing that I've told my clients to do that has been helpful and even a little fun is to make a five senses box. And so you figure we're talking about how with the five senses, you aren't able to identify COVID. And that's part of why it makes it so unnerving because it's so elusive. So what you do is you take a box, it could be a shoe box or whatever, and in it, you put five things that are calming and soothing, one of each for each of the five senses. So you have taste, touch, sight, hearing, and smell. And then maybe you put a picture in there of loved ones, right, for sight. Maybe you put a stress ball in there for touch. Maybe a favorite scented candle for smell, and so on. And the idea being that, you know, you use that to help ground yourself back into reality, because as you go through trauma and you're, it's being stirred up again, it takes you to a different place. And we want to help you come back down, get your feet on the ground. And that one of the best ways that you can do that is through your senses and reconnecting with those.
Jenny, we've run out of time, but if people want more information, if they want to get in touch with you, where do they go?
Sure. They can call me at 203-293-8554, or they can go to my website, jennycurrycounseling.org, Jenny with a Y, Curry with an I-E.
All right. Fair enough. Jenny, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Always informative. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
With us here on the telephone line is a good friend of ours, Dave, with Riverview Bistro in Stratford. And Dave, we welcome you to the show. How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Good morning. Thanks for having me back on.
Oh, no problem, my friend. I mean, this must be a good time for you, knowing that in just about, 8 days, you're going to be able to open up and try to get back into business as best you can. Now, what are your thoughts with the governor's new guidelines? You have outdoor space, so will this work for you?
It's going to work, obviously. The fact that we're starting to open is the first step that's important, just to just start getting business going back to being normal is any step in that direction is a positive. The challenge is following the guidelines. I mean, they talk about capacity wise and then you're 6 feet apart, but 6 feet apart in my case, I'll probably be little more than half of my seating outside will disappear just because of the distancing requirements. So it really comes down to, does it make sense for each person? You know, if you only have five patio tables and you end up with one, what does that really give you? You know, so I think each business is going to have to decide what the positive of it for them is.
Yeah.
Opening, of course, is the positive.
Right. Absolutely, Dave. And I love your perspective on it because you're right. But it's funny that you mentioned that because that's, you know, we have been talking about this with state leaders. And I guess this is the first example we're getting where we can actually visualize what we're seeing. So Tony and I, we love eating outside at your restaurant. In fact, we'll wait in line just for a table to open outside in the summer because there's nowhere better to be. But exactly what you were saying, is outdoor service good for business or is it still really not helpful enough? Because does it end up kind of costing you to have to meet those guidelines? You know, to like you said, if you can only fit, let's just say, six tables out there and now you're spreading them apart, you know, does it mean you're only serving three tables? Does it mean you use up some of your parking lot? You know, what are we looking at?
Yeah, and I guess each town is going to have their decisions if they're going to allow individually as to what they'll allow people to extend their space, you know? So some people will be able to use parking spots and things like that. But it still comes down to how much space do you have and how can you do it? Because of course the cost to bring the entire staff back and to open up full time and to do all these different things, it's gotta be balanced somehow. I mean, we're gonna continue to do the takeout because why not? And but like, for example, our side patio typically seats 26 people. The most, if any at all, we might be able to get over there is like four.
Oh, wow.
Because the entrance has, you have to have a separate entrance as well as exiting. So if everybody comes in one way and, like you said, line, I have to have a place where I can keep people 6 feet apart and be in a safe environment before I can get them to their tables. So I have to have the room to do that. And of course, making people stand out in a parking lot is not really the safest plan. So you have to bring them somewhere.
Now,
so that's just an example of how the different, how different it really is.
Yeah. Wow.
Now let me ask you this: what about things like menus and utensils? Serving drinks in glass cups and all of that. How is that all going to work?
So, as far as the menus, they have to be disposable. Seasoning, salt and peppers, and all those kind of things, like any kind of condiments people are going to need, they're going to be individually sent to them, so they have their own little thing, and then that when it's gone, it's gone. We throw it away. The glasses and the utensils have to be rolled up. They have to be washed, obviously, through the sanitizing and the chemicals and everything that they have in the dish machines is well beyond that of a normal dishwasher, so it's not like anything's going to be dirty coming out of there. But it's just, it really comes down to people paying attention, you know, both the guests and the employees. And that's really what it's going to come down to, is everybody being safe to make sure everybody's good. The guests have to wear masks, too, until they sit down at the table. They have to have masks on. And if they don't, they're not allowed in.
Yeah.
You know, and in our case, we're going to do reservation only, because just to get a feel of how things are going, we don't want to start having everybody mad dash in a line and people, because then it's you don't want to cause any kind of problem. There's going to be people that are going to get upset if somebody's too close to them, or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And I remember, Dave, specifically, I remember you coming on the air when this first happened and how we talked about your staffing numbers and how it was just gut-wrenching to have to let a lot of staff go. Now, with May 20th reopening somewhat, is that going to mean slowly bringing back staff, or are we still looking at a lot of people kind of out of a job right now?
In comparison to what I would normally have on the staff, we'll still probably have like probably 12 different people still not there yet.
Wow.
Even with this, yeah. So, and we have one of the larger patios in the area. We have a very big deck. But like I said, the percentage that you're going to lose is what it comes down to. How many tables do you actually lose? So that's a big number. It really is. You know, I think the sheet actually said 50% occupancy, but when we started doing the calculations with the measurements, it's more than that. It's more than that as far as the seating on our deck by itself.
All right, we're talking with Dave from Riverview Bistro in Stratford. We're talking about the May 20th opening, what it means for his business and other restaurants in the area. Now, for people who have never been to Riverview, what makes your restaurant stand out from the others?
Oh, right on the Housatonic River. That's the first thing. And if you look at our menu, we have a wide variety of stuff you can choose from appetizers that are, you know, our house-made meatballs all the way down to our chocolate cake that everybody seems to talk about and love. So we have a variety of stuff that everybody can attach to. Right now we're doing the takeout stuff, and one of the big things that everybody likes is the Chinese takeout, which the general chicken seems to be going really, really out of control, to be honest with you. It's every day it's the number one seller. So we've been doing a lot of takeout, which is a whole new platform for us. So we're trying to keep up with that at the same time.
And here's my other question. You know, every time the radio station has had an affair there at Riverview, most times it was buffet. That's gone out Correct. The window now, right?
Correct. Yeah. And unfortunately, that's a bigger part for us. You know, people talk about inside. We have a banquet room.
Yeah.
And we do weddings and baby showers and bridal showers. And every week there's somebody else calling going, well, what are we going to do? What can we do? And we can't do anything. And unfortunately, right now, it's postponed this, move that to this date, reschedule for here. And we don't even know when we're going to get to the guidelines where it's going to be 50 or less.
Yeah.
Because that's really the number we have to hit.
And you're probably booked, I would assume, 6 or 8 months in advance.
Oh, yeah. We actually have events booked all the way to 2021.
There you go. Wow.
And they're actually calling and getting nervous because they're thinking to themselves, what happens in the fall? What happens, you know, my party's in February. Mm-hmm. Is we going to be back to this next year?
Sure. Sure. So, you know,
everybody's nervous about what's happening.
All right. All right. Dave, we've run out of time. Where are you located for people who don't know?
946 Ferry Boulevard in Stratford, right across from BJ's, next to the bridge.
All right. And whether you take advantage of the outdoor dining or not, always remember they still have curbside service, and they've got some of the best food that you're ever going to find in the area. Now, if people want to take a look at the menu, what's that website?
RiverviewStratford.com.
All right. Sounds good. Dave, good luck to you. I know it's been very, very challenging for you and your staff. Hopefully you'll be back up full guns before you know it. Thank you so much.
Give us a call when you want a table.
All right. You got it. But it's got to be outside. All right.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Dave.
We'll talk to you soon.